book that I'm going to discuss today is my current book club read, and it's one that I actually got to pick. So the book is called How to Be an Anti-Racist by Dr. Ibram X. Kendi. I like to not consider myself racist. Like, I think I'm pretty liberal and accepting of all walks of life, genders, races, roles, etc. But after reading the book, it really made me examine some of the stereotypes that I definitely had and learn how to be better about it. Welcome to
The Beauty Boss Confidential.
My name is Ren, and I'm a beauty blogger, new mom, makeup artist, and owner of my own makeup academy in Atlanta, Georgia.
My name is Nalani, and I'm a cosmetic tattoo artist and instructor. I run a busy permanent makeup studio and academy in Atlanta as well, and also manage a small team.
We're two modern women
trying to juggle it all,
from building our empire
to being a wife
and navigating being a new mom,
all while making time for ourselves.
We're here to share with you the behind the scenes
of what it's really like to run a successful beauty business,
from marketing to business strategies
and trying to find that perfect work-life balance.
Let's dive right in. Hey guys, we're back with another episode of Beauty Boss Confidential. So this is the first installment in our series called What We're Reading and Listening To. So right now, especially during COVID-19, and a lot of people are at home, it's a great time for learning and reflection. And what better time than this podcast to discuss what we're listening to and what we're reading? I'm going to share what book I'm reading right now, and Nalani will share her favorite podcast. So if you didn't know about me, I am a bookworm, like majorly into books. I read every single day. It's definitely my therapy, my stress relief, my meditation, and I'm actually part of two book clubs. So the book that I'm going to discuss today is my current book club read, and it's one that I actually got to pick. So the book is called How to Be an Anti-Racist by Dr. Ibram X. Kendi. And because we're discussing what we're reading and what we're listening to, I thought that it might be a nice segue into some other topics that might not be totally beauty related. So in case you haven't heard about the book, I'm going to give you a brief overview and discuss some of the high points, and me and Nalani will have some really great engaging conversation about it. But this book is definitely very, very relevant right now. It's part of the Black Lives Matter movement. And it's actually like always like on the top three list of Amazon best-selling books. So because of Black Lives Matters, I think a lot of us took a second to really look inwards and rethink our thoughts on racism and equality. And the reason why I really wanted to talk about this book is because I knew I needed to educate myself more about the movement. And I'm going to start off by giving you a quote, which I thought was really interesting from the book. So the opposite of racist isn't not racist, it's anti-racist. Like fighting an addiction, being an anti-racist requires persistent self-awareness, constant self-criticism, and regular self-examination. So when I heard that, I was like, wow. I like to not consider myself racist. Like I think I'm pretty liberal and accepting of all walks of life, genders, races, roles, etc. But after reading the book, it really made me examine some of the stereotypes that I definitely had and learn how to be better about it. So in the book, Dr. Kendi talks about how to actually embark on anti-racism and how to reshape how we look at racial justice in America and how we can help the movement. And it's no better time than now when there are so many things going on. It's really like a highly charged situation. And this is probably one of the few times in life where we could actually make a difference. So in the book, Dr. Kendi talks about how to embark upon anti-racism, how to reshape how we talk about racial equality and justice in America. And it really importantly lets us see new ways of how to look inside ourselves and how we view others. So instead of just saying, oh, I'm not racist, it's how can I be an anti-racist and how can I work to change policies and the systems that are in place that are preventing equality and equal distribution of resources. So I know that sounds pretty deep, but the book is very easy to read in the sense that he wrote it as part of a memoir about how he experienced life growing up as a young Black child into an adult, and how he actually struggled with a lot of racist views. He grew from that to being an anti-racist. So the points I wanted to talk about, and I think this will be a really great, a great discussion for Nalani and I. The first one is that it is actually racist to believe that the behavior of certain groups of people are inferior and that they need to change to become equal. So if I put that into context, some people think that certain racial groups, let's say Black people, you hear the term, and this is something that's been, unfortunately, a stereotype for a long time, is that they'll say Black people are lazy and that's why they're not successful. And this could actually, according to the book, be some Black people who are in a different race class say this about the same race that they're in, and they them saying that the reason why you're not successful is not because you're Black, it's because you're lazy. But by saying that, it's actually ignoring the fact that it's a systematic issue and that certain areas, because of the public policy, they don't have the same resources. So because they don't have the same resources, the lack of resources, it prevents them from attaining the certain test scores, a certain job and college opportunities, which would lead to more success and money. So one of the things that I think is really interesting is this concept of, if you're not successful, it's because you're not working hard enough. So what do you think about that? I know that's a loaded topic, Nalani.
You know, doing eyebrows, I come across a lot of highly successful African-American women. So it's hard for me to wrap my head around someone thinking that they just think this one thing about this certain race, because I'm like exposed to it on a daily. Like, I have really, really dope, highly educated clients who are African-American that come through my door. So it's hard for me to like even grasp why someone would stereotype. When somebody says, you know, quote unquote, like Black people are lazy, I'm the first person to be like, no. Like, I have some dope women that come through my door and they're educated and they're so smart. And it's a very sensitive topic, to where I don't like to get into a heated conversation with them, just because it might be like a friend of a husband or whatever, you know. But I do find myself like, that's not always true. Like, let's back up a second, you know. Like,
and that's something I definitely want to talk about, is if you're confronted with somebody who has a certain viewpoint that you know is racist, it is uncomfortable, but it's an opportunity to potentially shift a mindset. You know what I mean? Because like, everybody has the stereotypes. So I'm going to give an example. Obviously, every race has racism. So Black people experience racism from white people. Asian people may experience some racism within the Asian, you know, community. Then a lot of people are being racist now towards the Latin movement because of immigration, the hot topic of immigration. So it's a time where everybody is experiencing turmoil. So it's like, what can you do or what can you say in order to confront the issue? Because I think we all know now that you can't just be silent and PC. Like, we all have a responsibility to say or do something. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I guess for me, it's like, obviously there's like a really big issue out there. Like, I'm not going to say I'm like an activist and going out there and rioting and violence or whatever, but I do what I can in my daily life. Like, and I'm not the one to like publicly announce like what I did either or what I said, you know. Like, I feel like if you really feel it in your heart that whatever this person said was wrong, you address it in the most diplomatic and like calm way. Like, it's okay to have a adult conversation. If I have that moment to be like, it's not really how it is, like, you, let's reassess what you said, like, I'm gonna say it, but I don't have to publicly announce it either. So that's how I decided to support the Black Lives Movement, is that just because it's not posted doesn't mean it's not being done. You know, I hate it when people do things to get attention or like for likes or followers. Like, this whole movement, it's not a trend. Like, this is a lifestyle. I grew up with so many different ethnicities, you know, like it's not a trend, guys. Like it's just weird right now when it comes to like Instagram and things like that.
Yeah. I actually experienced the same thing. I felt like I didn't want to just keep posting something without being ready, you know, because I do separate my personal and professional beliefs, especially on social media. But, you know, it did come to the point where I felt responsible and I felt morally obligated to do something that was right for me. What that meant was that me and my girlfriends, actually, we had a conversation about this and we thought, what could we do in our personal lives and what talents that we have in our careers to help support the movement? So we each took like our strength. Mine was obviously something to do with makeup. Another of my friends was does yoga. Another of my friends, you know, she did like a Pampered Chef party. So we tried to combine our strengths and raise money towards the Black Lives Matter movement, specifically to a cause that actually, a campaign that actually will enact policy reform. Because one of the big things in the book that I read was that if you really want to make change, it's the policies that need to change. You know what I mean? Like, yes, you can say, stand up for people and you can say, that's not right. But like, it's a big system issue. So unless the policies change, like how, you know, Black people and people of color have equal opportunity to healthcare, education, representation, then it's really not going to shift. Does that make sense?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And that's why I really wanted to educate myself on the book, because I've always been around people of color. I married a Black man. I have a Black baby. But I felt like I still feel like there was education and more in-depth, you know, knowledge I needed to talk about. And one of the things that they talked about in the book was that racism comes from power. So some people were like, how can a Black person be racist? Because they are not in power. You know, most of the people in government and higher positions and corporate are white men. You know what I'm saying? But actually, there are people of every color in some sort of power position. So you can actually be hurting others in your race category by not enacting change where you can, you know? And a lot of people do it because of economics. So they might, you know, support a certain policy that's not going to help the race out just because it's adding profit to their pockets. It's interesting because I've heard that before. Like, I remember I had a boyfriend who was like, he had told me that, oh, you don't understand the struggle unless you're Black or Mexican. And I was like, what? Because as a Filipino, you know, since I wasn't those two ethnicities, I basically couldn't be like a minority, or I couldn't understand racism. Now I'm going to say that I definitely do not understand Black racism and the struggle they've been through, because I'm not Black and I can't even understand the depths of that as a non-Black person. Mm-hmm. But I can try to do my best to educate myself and become vulnerable to some of the stereotypes that maybe I have experienced.
I think for me, like the biggest thing that I've learned throughout this whole movement currently is, personally, there's not a wrong way to support. Like, people are posting like, oh, let me shout out a Black business owner. I'm just like, I've been doing that. Like, I collaborate with Black artists, I hire Black artists, I work with Black, like, that is something that I've always done. And for people to post it just because it's a trend, like, that bothers me. Do you know what I mean? And for me, like, nobody can tell me I'm not doing something right or wrong, because I know that in my heart, it's like, I've been supporting it. So am I going to take it one step further? Yeah, obviously, but I don't need to post it to prove it, you know? It's my daily life. Like, it's my daily flow. At the end of the day, it's just like, I do what I feel is right. And that's the most important to me. And nobody can say I'm not supporting enough, or, you know, I'm not doing enough. If I know that I'm doing everything I could for that day that I feel is right, if I come across something that is racist, then that's all that matters to me. So
I'm definitely not about this whole shame cancel, you know, trend that's going on, where people like shame people on social media for not doing enough or not saying the right thing. I think that we all have to do what we think is right for ourselves. But we do have to push ourselves past the comfort zone, because that is how changes enacted. So another thing that I want to bring up is that, you know, no one is born racist. You know, when a baby comes into the world, they don't know how to treat a certain group a certain way. So I think it's important to, if you have access to young children, whether you're a mom, an auntie, a friend of friends with kids, I think it's really important to start early to have conversations. So that way the next generation has a different mindset and that we continue to get better, because it's an ingrained thought process that sometimes is passed down from generation to generation, unfortunately. But that is a really good way to have access to younger people and to have that change early on. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. Like, racism is definitely taught.
Right. So that was what I'm reading right now. It got kind of deep there for a second, but I think it's really important that we talk about it on this platform. And like I said, me and you, we are residents living and working in Atlanta. I think sometimes we are exposed to really successful Black professionals because Atlanta, specifically our little pocket, has more access to resources. But in other places, you know, it's not so prevalent. So I think in that sense, like, it's like maybe someone is listening to this somewhere else and it can help them make some change. And that's all we can ask.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. Like, for me, it's like, it's so normal. Like, usually you and I, Ren, were usually like the only Asian girl at these events, and which is pretty cool. You know, we stand out more. Shoot, I use it to my advantage, I don't know. It's so normal for me to be around different ethnicities. So it's not that much of a change. Like I said, it's like, am I going to speak up a little bit more now? Yeah, I am. But I also feel like I don't need to post every good deed that I do. Yeah. Like, so there are a lot of things that I do that I don't post or I don't talk about because it's not for that purpose. It's just like, just be a good person, like treat everyone the same and defend people who can't defend themselves, or, you know, like, to me, it's a lifestyle. It's not a trend.
Yeah, no. Hopefully if anyone's listening and they struggle with, you know, some things that, you know, they can have now these resources to talk about it. Maybe they need to read this book. I'm just saying, like, I want to expose people who maybe haven't looked at this topic or deep dove into it. Like, you know, they're not in our same situation. Hopefully they can. Yeah. I would definitely recommend the book because I've learned so much. And I definitely, like I said, I consider myself to not be racist, but this really brought up a lot of topics that I really questioned. And I was like, wow, it's a really great read. So definitely check it out if you have the time. It's How to Be an Anti-Racist by Dr. Kendi Ebron. So now we will transition to Nalani. And like I said, maybe you're not a big reader and you're a big podcast listener. So Nalani is going to share her favorite podcast right now.
Yeah, so I definitely don't like to read. I am not even going to lie and say, like, I'm not going to be that girl that says I like to read, because I don't, which is fine. You know, everybody has their own way of getting information and educating themselves. My favorite podcast right now, so I am a podcast listener. I listen to podcasts almost on a daily basis. So I have pretty much like three categories that I kind of turn to. So my first category is the business category. So for entrepreneurship, marketing, business, I listen to the Gold Digger podcast by Jenna Kutcher. And I also listen to Boss Babe. And they talk mainly about like marketing, business strategies, and pretty much like the entrepreneur life. So I really like listening to that because I'm always looking to improve my business and get different perspectives. And they're not in the beauty industry. So I like that because it's not just like, so I could adopt like some of their strategies to my beauty business because they're not in the beauty industry, because sometimes different industries gives different tips and tips and strategies. So that way you can incorporate something you might not even ever think about to your industry. So I like that better. Actually, I tried listening to like the beauty industry, but for some reason, I just kind of started comparing myself and I didn't like that too much. So yeah, that was one of the realizations that I got from listening to specifically the beauty industry. The other category that I listen to is more of a lifestyle category. And I'm a huge nerd when it comes to psychology. I'm not sure if I mentioned, but after I failed out of nursing school, I actually got a psychology degree because I was like naturally into it. And I actually have a lot of psychology credits. So I am a big nerd when it comes to that. And one of the podcasts I listen to is called Ultimate Health. And they talk about everything, not just business. It's just like good for the soul. So they talk about things like, you know, sleep and exercise and just like random things that I might not know that I was looking for. And I'm just like, that was an interesting topic. And then another one I listen to is called 10% Happier. And the same, it's more lifestyle psychology. It actually talks about meditation a lot. And since I'm really on this like finding peace with myself kick, I find that it really calms me listening to the episode. And they talk about like how meditation can help you and the importance of sleep and light and really like nerdy topics. So I like listening to that. And then the other category that I like listening to, so if I'm just like not in that mood where I want to be really deep and like reflective and just wanted to turn to more entertainment, I listened to the Essence podcast. It's called Yes Girl. And the hosts are really funny. And this is purely for entertainment. They actually interview celebrities as well. So one of the celebrities I have is Alicia Keys. And it really you kind of get to know celebrities more on a deeper level. And Diddy was actually on it one time too. And he talked about like his Kim Porter's death and his first Mother's Day without her. So that was really deep. And I was just like almost bawling when I listened to his episode. So that's more of entertainment. So yeah, I kind of rotate between all of them depending on my mood. But I like listening to podcasts just because I'm doing eyebrows all day. So I can just put earphones in my ear and just kind of get lost in the conversation, you know, and when I do chores and, you know, it's not so dreadful doing chores or washing dishes anymore because I'm like, okay, I'm actually, so it's kind of like my form of reading, but I can do other things as well.
Great suggestions. You actually put me on Gold Digger and I learned so much from it. So like I'm a newbie podcast listener. So I definitely took some notes and I'm going to subscribe to those channels. So I hope you guys have some new listening and reading material that you can add to your list. So hopefully you like this episode and we can keep it going with what we're listening to and reading. And until next time, stay cute and confident. Thanks for joining us on the Beauty Boss Confidential.
If you love this episode, go ahead and screen record your favorite part and tag us on Instagram. I'm Nalani at BeautyBot.
And I'm Ren at Makeup by RenRen.
We would love to hear from you.
Don't forget to hit that subscribe button so you'll never miss an episode. And please give us a 5-star rating and tell all your beauty bosses.
Thanks again for tuning in.
And we'll catch you next time.